Hello all and welcome to the podcast, The Modern Storyteller. My name is Surya T and it's a pleasure to have you here today. Today I want to continue the discussion on Stephen King's advice to a writer, and this time instead of talking about individual advices, I want to group a few of them together. The reason is simple. The next three or the one I'm talking about in this particular episode are related to language. Stories are universal. The feelings that a person feels while doing certain things are more or less the same. Happiness, sadness, sorrow, grief, surprise, shock, denial, and other feelings, all of them have a very similar way of emotional response in the human's brain. But the way of communicating is different from person to person, because language is the way we communicate what we feel to the other person. That being said, your language is the way how you narrate your stories. Language is your tool as a writer to show what exactly that you want to show. What happens in this case is people get caught up in the language and forget the story. So without any further ado, let's get started. Language is important for multitude of reasons. The biggest among them is that is how we communicate. See, every species has a language, but we as humans have evolved to such a point where we can not only understand our language, but we can also understand someone else's language and learn it. We have such a broad spectrum of languages that when we go back in time and try to figure out, there is usually one or two languages from where all of the languages that we hear today have been born. This similarity brings up for a lot of ease for us to understand what the other person is going through, although they don't really speak the same language as us. Have you ever seen a hungry kid or someone saying, "I am hungry"? No matter what language they are speaking in, you know they are hungry because they also come with a certain gesture of hunger. That is universal. Now the first advice is, and this is most important, don't be pretentious. The reason why this is an advice is, there are people in this world who have a very rich and complex vocabulary that the moment you start talking to them, you feel fancy. Sometimes you have to figure out the meanings of the words that they are speaking as they are speaking, because those are some things you've never used in your life. That doesn't mean you start being like that unless you have that vocabulary and it's in your natural speech. We've all heard the story of a young lady who's applying for a job. The job's title said Director of Welcoming. See, when you see that title, it feels like this particular job is going to be something amazing. I mean, it has the word director in it, and director is pretty sure the biggest and the most respectful post in the corporate ladder. But when she accepts the job and goes to office for the first day, she is told to sit behind the reception desk. And when she realizes what the title meant, it's Director of Welcoming Faces, or in another way, she's a receptionist. See, being pretentious makes you come off as phony, because you're using words that you don't generally use as a writer. you generally don't use as a speaker. See, your writing should flow in a way that it's very natural to who you are as a person. That's where your style comes from. You trying to write like Shakespeare or the likes, using words like thine and thy, when those don't really form part of your natural way of life, causes a lot of disruption and they got a lot of diversion when reading something that you've written. The reason is simple. Either you become a pretentious person trying to write all of these big words just for the sake of it, and what happens in the end is you're focusing a lot of your energy on finding the right fancy word and not on the story. See, people who do not have such a very complex vocabulary in their language itself have stories that are equally or if not more engaging than what we are reading. We know by that language is not the most important factor in the engagement of the story. Language is but a medium how you express your story. See, don't try to make the medium fancy unless you're comfortable with it. See, writing a pretentious character, you need to know the kind of stuff they do. It's important to figure out what all words they will use, and it's okay to do that because that's what the character demands. The story still doesn't demand very pretentious words. The story demands very simplistic words. The story says, all I want is to have words that are very simple. Because someone who reads your story in the end, they need to understand it quickly. So it also relates a bit to your audience. While this is a little contradicting to what I'm saying before, I will tell you why it's not contradicting. You're writing for yourself, you're not writing for an audience. Which means, in the end, the audience for that story, the primary audience for that story, is not someone out there in the world who's facing a problem like your protagonist is. The primary audience for that story is you. How do you feel about being pretentious? How do you feel about someone being pretentious and now that someone becoming you? Use big words. No one is stopping there. What I'm saying is they should be part of your natural way of life. Use smaller words. It's okay. As long as you can tell the story in a very engaging way, it doesn't matter what the words you have used. It was a dark and stormy night. This is an amazing starting for a lot of horror books. Why? It's simple, it gives you the picture and it tells you everything you need to. Maybe sometimes words such as boulevard or canopy, these are some things that are not in a person's natural vocabulary. Maybe this person has to read to figure out. See, write for yourself. Don't focus on the audience, but also remember that you are still your audience, so write at least for yourself and don't be pretentious. The second advice is avoid adverbs and long paragraphs. While this is a very particularly grammatic related statement, I will try to add my two cents to it. One thing is, the longer the paragraph, the lesser the interest once you finish the paragraph. See, if you ever taken a checklist and started checking off things, one thing that you'll realize is you'd rather do smaller things so that you can get the high of checking off things than do large things which take a lot of time but give you one check. The same thing happens with long paragraph. Long paragraphs take a lot of time, and by the end, you'd lose motivation to read. You'd lose that engagement because what you remembered in the beginning of the paragraph, you may forget by the end. Attention spans are going down. So by having your paragraph short, one thing that you can do both as a favor to your audience as yourself is to get to the point. You don't talk for 2 pages on how a leaf looks. You get to the point as to what's going on. And that is very important when you want your audience's time. In a world where everything is a distraction, not only to a writer but also to a reader, getting hooked to a book is something that does not happen very often anymore. And long paragraphs are not the best way to try getting people engaged. See, your narrative structure in the end, and by narrative structure I mean if all of your paragraphs can be covered in blocks, the size of the blocks, it's primarily, it should be like a dance. It should not be as if there's only one-line paragraphs for the entire book, like a script, or that there's just blocks of paragraphs that go for 2 to 3 pages. It should be a dance. See, when I say avoid long paragraphs, I do not say avoid them like the plague. If it makes sense to use it somewhere, use it. All I'm saying is, don't resort to long paragraphs when you can write something shorter in its place. See, you can figure out the kind of structure you can have using your favorite books. And this is a very personal thing, which is why I don't give a lot of advice on it. But I wanted to do the Stephen King's advice, and that's why I am adding my 2 cents to it. Coming to adverbs, the reason why a lot of people tell you to avoid adverbs is that adverbs are the shortest way to tell someone what they are feeling. She was deeply hurt. She was hurt. In both of these statements, do you see the intensity? See, adverb adds an intensity. But these two statements, she was deeply hurt versus she was hurt, they do not show what deeply means. Adverbs rob you of the picture that you're trying to paint to the audience. See, what does someone do when they are hurt? They feel sad, they maybe cry, they do something sometimes unbelievably stupid. But what does someone do when they are deeply hurt? They're just shocked, they are confused as to why this is happening, they don't know how to deal with it. They have a lot of thoughts in their head, but they're just stuck. See, these are the things that you need to paint a picture when you say someone is deeply hurt. And when you don't do that, you're robbing the audience of the fact that they are not able to see what's happening with the character. Which is why a lot of people say avoid adverbs. And I think this is a good picture. When you don't want to tell what's going on, but you want to paint a picture, I suggest you always paint a picture. So this is why adverbs and long paragraphs are expected to be avoided. They rob you of the picture, or they give you too much around the picture, or basically you're looking too much at the leaves and forgetting this, you're in the woods in the first place. The third advice is, don't get overly caught up with grammar. There are a set of people who are so obsessed about grammar that you start calling them grammar Nazis. Their entire thing is, they look at the grammar, they say, okay, the off there is doesn't make sense, the that there doesn't make sense, or you know, it shouldn't end with a proposition, it shouldn't start with a but or an and. All I'm trying to say is, when you get caught up in the tangles of language, you end up forgetting the fact that you're trying to tell a story. See, language is in the end a medium. See, this is a very bad example, but this is what happens when you get caught up with a medium and forget how the medium is being used. The 2016 elections, one of the scandals is the Cambridge Analytica scandal that happened with Facebook. They say that the data has been leaked to this particular company and that company has used it for their own purposes. At the same time, it is also rumored that the 2016 US presidential elections have been rigged by various Russian bots. In each country, there are examples of how social media has led to violence because one person posted an inciting message that the others could not diagnose as being just a viral message versus being the truth. See, while I'm not condemning the message or the act, all I'm saying is, in a very idealistic scenario, the platform is not to blame. Because the platform gives you ability to do anything you want. It also depends on how you use it. I am not trying to deny the amount of judgment that went behind trying to come up with this. All I'm trying to say is, language is a tool. Language is like a knife. With a knife, you can cut vegetables and make a nice meal. Or you can also cut yourself. And when I mean cut yourself, accidentally cut your finger and then have a bloody finger. See, all I'm trying to say is language is just a tool and the way you use it is most important. But the primary objective is that you are trying to deliver something in the end. See, when we talked about good versus bad, we said that a soldier killing another soldier is good while a person murdering another is not. See, the act is the same, but the purpose is different. So when you get caught up with grammar, you forget the bigger picture, which is your story. See, do the grammar later or outsource the grammar to someone else. The main thing should be your story. You need to tell a story. And that's all that matters. When you get caught up with grammar, you lose sight of the big picture. And this is the same thing as long paragraphs and adverbs. You start looking at leaves and forget you're in a forest. So I hope you got enough for this. And these are the three advice, I'm repeating it. First, don't be pretentious. Second, avoid adverbs and long paragraphs. And third, don't get overly caught up with grammar. Before we conclude the episode, I want to talk about my new book, T-5 Years. It's a web novel that's being published on Wattpad and other platforms. T-5 Years follows the story of Vikram, who lands 5 years in the past in 2015 with little of his memory. He is supposed to change the past and eventually and subsequently the future, but he does not know exactly what it is. Over the time, with few of his memories coming back to him, he has to figure out what he exactly has to change and ensure that he changes it. Will he be successful in his journey? Stay tuned to find out. The link to this story is present in the description, or you can search T-5 Years on Wattpad. I hope you like it. It's a very exciting story for me and it's been an amazing journey so far. I hope you like reading it as much as I loved writing it. So that's all I have for today. I hope you have gotten enough to start writing your stories.
The resources for this episode are uploaded on my Patreon page and the blog. The summary is available to all, and there is another document with additional tips. If you're interested in supporting the Modern Storyteller podcast, you can do so by either buying the additional tips document or becoming a patron to directly get access to this episodes as well as the ones that came before this by becoming a patron with less than $1 per episode. You can check out the additional benefits on my Patreon page, for which the link is down below. Have a good day writing. See you in the next episode. Surya T signing off.